Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 34 from September the 19th of 1992. We are in Pikeville College Gym in Pikeville, Kentucky still. Doc, I think you've already given out the demographics for our location in the past. Do you need to do so again, or are we good to go here?
White and poor. We got it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
White trash.
Oh, come on now.
And we still have memories of hillbilly days dancing in our heads from back in April in Pikeville, and we're all singing Dwight Yoakam songs because that's where he's from. So I think, yeah, we're set on the demographics. One thing I did note here throughout this show, it looks like everybody finally got in the door here. The crowd looks pretty big here, I thought. And for all the joking about the town and whatnot, I thought this building looked really good to shoot in. I don't know. I thought it looked good on TV.
It's at a college, so it's probably not just some little bullshit high school gym.
I'll repeat what we've talked about in the past, though, on this show. I like the smaller setting, the gymnasium-type setting that Smoky Mountain Wrestling frequently finds themselves in. It's nice, intimate-looking setting, just what you like for wrestling. You know, we've talked about it in the past. For any new listeners out there, this isn't that, you know, goddamn the arena looks the same wherever we're at. This is a smoke-filled arena, wrestling the way it used to be and wrestling the way we fucking like it. And that's what Pikeville looks like to me, regardless of Doc trying to insult the good people of Pikeville, Kentucky. Did that summarize it well enough for you, Doc?
I guess.
Okay.
I don't know why you're so fucking hot. The way you talk about these people off air and then come on here and defend them make you a pretty big hypocrite, but only Harper and I know that.
There you go play and heel again. Harper, how you doing today, man? You doing good?
Yep. Just watched the Golden Girls. I'm ready to do some Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
I hear you. Well, let's get into things again. This is episode number 34, September 19th of 1992. New listeners, we appreciate you tuning in. I want to thank Jim Cornette for the plugs recently on his show. And we do appreciate it. We like having all our new Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast fans. If you're listening to this show, you probably noticed on the same feed, that tinyurl.com/BTTpodfeed. We also do a Thursday show where we're going through WCW Saturday Night from 1985 right now, amongst many other classic wrestling topics, including the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top tens and whatnot. So here we go. Let's jump into this week's show. We got Dutch and Bob setting the table as usual. And I got to say something here, fellas, before I even get started. Man, I made it through. We were recording this on March 24, 2017. I made it through maybe 10 minutes of Impact Wrestling last night. And it was because of the terrible announcing, specifically Josh Matthews, who's the drizzling shits. And I just have, although this is 25 years old, a greater, even greater appreciation for Dutch and Bob Cottle. I just want to lay that out there as I'm introducing Dutch and Bob on this week's show. So, Dutch and Bob.
Let me help you out. I watched the whole thing in 20 minutes because the whole thing was terrible. And at the end, Josh Matthews got slapped by Karen Jarrett, and she told him that they were going to make changes in the booth.
Yeah.
Okay, so hopefully that means that changes are coming.
By the time people hear this, hopefully that's a memory. But I'm tired of talking about TNA. I want to get to the Smoky Mountains.
Well, I just wanted to mention that because of how great Dutch and Bob are in the booth. So they set the table. They talk about Ronnie Garvin and Paul Orndorff. There's going to be an update in this episode. There's going to be a tag title match with the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies. And then more information is coming on the bounty situation out on Primetime Brian Lee. As you know, there's a $10,000 hit out on him right now. And then Down and Dirty with Dutch will feature Jim Cornette and Killer Kyle. Harper, you got anything from the opening segment before we move into the opening match?
No.
Doc, I assume you don't have anything either.
Let's get to the ring, pal.
All right, we go to the opening match. It is Rick Newsome and Ben Jordan versus the Stud Stable. You know, I really don't have much to report here other than Fuller abusing Newsome and then getting the DQ. Fuller shoved the ref in the Stud Stable. That's how they get DQ'd. Look, man, Fuller and Golden, they don't give two shits about winning. They're just there to whoop some ass. And I have said this in previous episodes, and so have you. I have a new appreciation for these two guys. The Stud Stable also attempt to put Newsome on the stretcher at the end of the match, like they say they're going to do to the Rock and Roll. And then they purposely dump Newsome off
the
stretcher.
Yeah, that was great. They just fucking flop his ass on the fucking ground. I had to fuck you, asshole.
That was was awesome. Like, they put it on him. They put him on a stretcher like they were going to do something, and they were like, they look kind of like, nope. Look around like, man, fuck you, boof. Doc, what'd you have from that match?
Man, the studs table continues to impress. They hit the ring hot. And just for your visuals, you know, you say sometimes that, and I don't believe you, but that we have some folks that are out there that are just listening to this show and not watching it along. When we say they had a stretcher, don't think the kind of stretcher that the paramedics would come pick you up in if you had some Ron Wright heart problems today. This is an old World War II, let's get this guy off the battlefield quickly stretcher with wooden handles and a army green cloth across it. So that'll set the visual for you. You know, we've talked about Ron Fuller and how much different and better and more real and badass he is than Colonel Parker. But look at that Jimmy Golden and how much better he is than Buckhouse Buck. You know, that was for us. It was a lot of our major exposure for the Monday Night Wars. We liked Jimmy Golden from the get-go. He was awesome when he was teaming with the Koloffs from the beginning. But, man, he, you know, just like Gibson got rejuvenated when Morton got there, it's like Jimmy Golden really got rejuvenated and got into the rhythm when Fuller got there. So, again, Stud Stable is two big thumbs up.
Hey, I want to point.
The same thing.
I agree. Go ahead, Hopper. I didn't mean to cut you off.
He's just so much better. I enjoy this character much better than Buckhouse Buck.
Bunkhouse Buck and Colonel Parker were just
and he
corporate
made
America
fucking
creations of bullshit. But go ahead.
And they made a basic ass hammerlock that has never won a match in the history of fucking wrestling. And they made it look fucking brutal.
I said that the first time they used it, and then the guy submitted. I was like, he took a rest hole and he made it into a brutal finisher. But that's Jimmy. That's Robert Fuller, bro. I will repeat for our new listeners: Robert Fuller is a fucking stud. That dude is the,
and he's
the,
in a stable.
Yes, there you go. So, hey, real quick, I didn't say this at the top of the show. So, we are recording this the morning before, or the morning of, that I am supposed to record and be on the Jim Cornette Experience. So, I didn't mention that. So, by the time this airs, I would have already been on Jim Cornette Experience, thanks to Brian Lash and Jim Cornette.
In the past, for the future, and whenever this airs, I hope you don't screw that up.
I agree, but what I wanted to say about it was one of the topics that I have noted to talk to Jim Cornette about is Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, the Stud Stable, and how great they are and what they contributed to early Smoky Mountain Wrestling in this first year. So I am going to bring that up.
And we have a lot of listeners from the Southeast, and like you said, we're growing the show and there's more people here. And if you're thinking, how can you guys be 34 episodes in to a show about Southeastern wrestling and not know that these two guys were great in Southeastern wrestling before this? Let me give you a little back history if you're just catching into the show. Harper's in New Orleans, Louisiana, watched Mid-South wrestling growing up. Mike is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but he grew up in New Orleans watching Mid-South in the 80s. And I'm in the DFW area, and I watched World Class. We were all of meager means growing up, so we didn't have the big satellite dish out in the yard, which means you got what you got when you got it. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. We didn't get to. We read about those guys in PWI a lot of times, but we didn't get to see it. And, hell, Mike didn't even get a VCR till like 6 months ago because he was so poor. So we didn't have tape trading and all that shit. So that's kind of why we're drooling over the Stud Stable is for in all honesty, this is really our first prolonged exposure to them in this format, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, we knew them as we knew them as Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, but our visual of them was what you saw in WCW, Bunkhouse Buck and
in
Colonel Parker. With that said, let's go to the first promo of today, which is the Stud Stable after their match and after they unloaded, I think it was Newsom from the freaking stretcher. Here it is.
Fans, let's go right now to Bob Caudle standing by, and he's got a word with the Tennessee Stud and Jimmy Golden.
All right, fans, and here they are moving in with us right here after. I tell you, it was a wild and woolly, and we saw that stretcher.
This is the bag right here.
That's going to carry them rock and rollers out of here, brother. You may think you've done something hot there, Ricky Morton. You ain't done nothing, boy, but got yourself in a whole big bunch of trouble. We're going to get you in that ring and put you down where you belong right there. You know something? If you're an ignorant hillbilly sitting out here and you ain't figured out yet what's going on, listen up and I'm going to tell you. What it amounts to is we don't give a flip right now about winning any more than in there right there. What we're out to do is hurt somebody. I'm going to tell you something. You little refugees from the Keebler factory, you couple of little dwarfs, that you are nothing with Mountain Man Airstein, the number one tag team in the world. And it's going to see you one place before it's done. You're going to ride this, baby. Both of you going to take
some ride. All right, fans, the stud stable. They say it's for the rock and roll. We'll be back right after this.
Boy, they ready for a fight.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you do it.
That's how you do it. Go ahead, Harper. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, bro, that just sounded fucking awesome, man.
They're just good, man. Wait.
Yeah.
No other way to say it. They're just good. What you got, Doc?
Well, we're treating this as legitimate sport, kind of. You know, that's always important. We talk about that across both of our shows. And he just said wins and losses are out the window, which means these guys have lost their minds. They're dangerous and they're ready to inflict pain on anything that comes in their way specifically. And no one has ever used this term to mean anything positive. Those rock and rollers.
I love it. I love it. The biggest thing that I caught was they call them a bunch of kids from the Keebler factory, which I like.
Reject.
But, the stud stable, I mean, you could see the comparison because they're two big old shit-kicking cowboys. I mean, they're two big mountain men, as Fuller says. And, you know, Robert Gibson's over 6 feet tall, but they're small compared to the stud stable. So, and the stud stable's like, screw this. We don't care about winning. We're just looking for a fight. And I got to tell you, at the end of the day, they just want to cook some ass. They're not necessarily interested in who's going to get the pin there. So, it is what it is. We go then to a recap of a show at Kingsport, Tennessee between Garvin and Orndorff. Orndorff destroys Garvin's towel before this match. Then he proceeds to hanging Ronnie Garvin from the top rope with the towel. Now, if you've been along with the ride for us, you know that hanging people from a top rope in Smoky Mountain Wrestling is in the past, present, and I don't want to spoil anything, but is also in the future. Commentary refers to this as a 1992 lynching, literally. Garvin responds to the lynching event right here, and so does Orndorff. Harper, I'm sorry, Doc, do you have anything before I throw it to the promo that they play?
Well, I just thought that, you know, 5 years later in WWF, Shawn Michaels would have taken that towel and humped it like he did the Canadian flag from Bret Hart. I wonder, and I also had a note here, I wonder how many hillbillies in the crowd's dicks got hard when they saw a lynching.
That's nice.
Oh, come on, man. Why do you always play heel and insult the good people of the Smoky Mountains? New listeners, he plays heel. He's not trying to insult you. He's trying to be Dutch Mantel, and he does a poor job of it. But go along with it because you'll enjoy the rest of the show.
I would say that you're playing babyface for the way that you speak about these people off air.
Okay. Harper, you got anything from the lynching that we just saw before I throw it to the promo?
Nah, it just looked fucking awesome, man, and it got over.
Yeah, he rips that towel like down the middle and then ties it together so that it's like a longer rope, and he fucking hangs him. Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. Only in the South.
There's no way that doesn't look awesome. Every time you see it, it's like, that's the one thing that's always like, okay, that's the thing. Everything else is like, man, I know that's a working punch. I know is it real? Is he, what's going on there? You know?
Yeah.
Well, historically, we've hung people. I mean, we hung Hector Guerrero one episode, if you remember, three or four months ago, Hector got hung from the top rope by Dirty White Boy. So let's play the promo and listen to Ronnie Garvin respond to Orndorff here.
Orndorff, you take one look at this here. I think you went just a little too far. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is very personal to me.
This is my ring jacket. Yeah, this is a towel, a simple towel that Ronnie Garvin throws to the fans every night, and you rob the fan of it. And I'm going to tell you, as far as I'm concerned, you're taking something personally from me. It did not belong to you. It is a green towel. I have red towels and yellow towels, and they're mine, and they're not yours. And you use it to choke me, and you tore it up to pieces. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You made a terrible mistake. I can't explain it to you, but you'll find out in the future. I'm going to take something from you. I'm going to make you beg and cry.
All right, fans, right here with Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Paul, again, I got to ask you. They love you. I'm hearing everywhere that you may be the one that's got $10,000 out there as a bounty.
Listen. I told you once before, I don't have anything to do with that bounty. But Brian Lee, I'll tell you one thing. I'll take the $10,000. I'll stick you right here on TV. Matter of fact, next week I'm going to have him here on TV, and I am going to stick him right in the middle of the ring, and I'm going to take the $10,000, and I'm going to have a good time with it.
Now, what about Ronnie Garvin?
Who?
Ronnie Garvin.
Who?
Ronnie Garvin.
Let me tell you something right now. I'm about sick and tired of Ronnie Garvin. He's starting to get under Mr. Wonderful's skin, and when somebody gets under Mr. Wonderful's skin, something happens, and I'm going to stick Ronnie Garvin one way or the other. I don't know what his problem is. He's telling me he's going to get personal. What is this thing with his towel? In just a few minutes, I'm going to show you people out there exactly what I did with that towel. I stuck it down his throat.
All right, fans. Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Don't go away. We'll be back right after we take time out for this word.
Doc, you go first, man.
Orndorff outperformed Garvin there.
Oh, sure. God, I knew you were going to say that, and I totally agree.
Man, and I don't know, that's kind of a, you know, Garvin's kind of backed into a corner. It's like, what I thought there is, like, you know how they tell stories at NXT or when you're in the car back in the day, they're like, okay, cut a promo on this cow on the side of the road, and you got to just do it. I felt like somebody threw him a towel and said, get this towel over, and he was like, okay. So that was hard, and then Orndorff comes out, and I really like the fact that they're branching angles here, so that not only is Orndorff trying to get it on with Garvin, but Caudle's bringing up that he's still thinking that maybe he's the mystery man in the primetime Brian Lee deal, and Orndorff's, you know, hey, I'll make some money there too. I'm a bad guy. I like to do bad stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Harper, what'd you have, man?
Yeah, Garvin just kind of He didn't have me convinced that towel really meant the world to him.
That whole towel thing was hokey to me. Like,
yeah.
And we don't say that a lot about Smoky Mountain for people listening to us. That we generally rave about everything, but
we call
towel,
it like it is.
The whole towel, that was kind of hokey. Like, I think that, like, in hindsight, I bet you if I were to even – I don't plan on asking Jim Cornette about this, but I think if you asked him, hey, you know, would you take in a different angle with that, it would have been to give Garvin a direction of, hey, you know, don't complain about the towel. Complain about the fact that you hung me. It ain't about the towel. It's the fact that, yeah, you ripped my towel, so fucking what? But you basically tried to kill me. You hung me from the top rope. That's not cool. I would have thought that might be the approach, but hey, Ronnie Garvin, former NWA World Champion, what you gonna do? You can't hit a freaking Grand Slam every single time, so that's where I'm at with that one. But I agree.
Just fucking hits a home run, man.
Yeah,
that's
he did.
That's all he does.
That's all he does. He's great. I've already always had a good appreciation for Paul Orndorff, and
yeah,
Smoky Mountain has given me further appreciation for him. Give Orndorff the win on that one. It's another segment, local promo. It's Cornette and Killer Kyle. I'll play it at the end of the show for everyone. I don't really have anything from it, unless, Doc, you had a note that you wanted to talk about from that promo.
From the Rainey interviews?
Yeah, I'm kind of to the point where I'm really, like, kind of skipping them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then, but hey, I might be skipping that one, even though, like I said, we'll play it at the end, and Robert Fuller laid out another stellar promo in that one. We got Tim Horner, and he's followed by Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. Here we go.
All right, fans, before we go to the ring for our non-title bout between the Dirty White Boy and Tim Horner,
Let's hear their comments that were taped earlier today about this upcoming match.
You know, I don't have a thing to prove to you, dirty white boy. That's why you, and you know that, that's why you're ducking and dodging. But I am going to prove to the people that I can beat you, and I'm going to get me a title shot.
Let me tell you something, Tim Horner. You done been out here crying to the promoters around here and forced me and the dirty white boy to get in there and give you a match. Well, let me tell you something. You're not good enough. You never was good enough, and there ain't no way in the world you can beat my man. You got it?
Here he comes, none other than White Lightning.
Oh, there he goes with that foam lightning bolt heading to the ring. Harper, what'd you think about Mr. Personality?
You seen the t-shirts?
I tried to miss it.
Yeah, fuck, man. I would love to get one of those fucking Tim Horner t-shirts.
And do what? Use it as a fucking handkerchief?
That's nice.
Are you out of toilet paper?
I mean, Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, he doesn't, bro, it's just...
You know what I know it's sad? That was actually a decent promo from him because it was so short.
Yeah, because it was short and sweet.
Yes. Don't let him go any more than 20 seconds.
Yeah.
It'll destroy it. I like the dirty white boy's get up there, man. He had the Zubaz on and
Ron White was in a tank top.
He's in a tank top. I thought that was awesome. Ron Wright looked like he just got done maybe servicing some rats. I don't know.
And the other thing was that Ron Wright was shooting there. He goes, "You ain't good enough, and you were never good enough."
Bruh, he was preaching.
Yeah.
Preaching. Told him he didn't stand a chance. Again, you don't stand a chance against my man, Tim Horner. We got more gold coming from Ron Wright. I don't know if it's this week or next. I think it's next week. But, yeah, very good stuff. So then we go to the match. You heard Tim Horner getting introduced there. It is Tim Horner versus the Dirty White Boy. Non-title match. We hate these things when that stupid-ass company up north does it. If Horner wins, Horner gets a title match with the Dirty White Boy. We always bury the WWE when they do this. And, unfortunately, this is one of those rare times when I will have to bury this idea in Smoky Mountain. Nine title matches are just not something I will ever like. You know, here's my notes from this match. Dirty White Boy is bumping and making Horner look like $1 million. Did you notice that, Doc?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, he made him look good. Harper, did you catch that? Yeah. I thought he made Horner look good. I mean, he was selling for him. Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy, is so underrated in the history of wrestling. If you don't know who he was, man, just listen to all our old episodes and go back and watch these, and you'll have a greater appreciation for him. He just takes nice bumps throughout the match. He powders to the outside to ring. He runs to Ron Wright on the outside looking for sympathy before he finally does take control. It's a very quick finish, though, where Horner gets Dirty White Boy rolled up into a small package that really looked nice. Gets the pinfall, so he beats the champ. I don't like that. The crowd, I will say this, though, in defense of Horner, they did come unglued, but I think that was a more of a product of how much they hate Ron Wright and hate the Dirty White Boy versus how much they love Tim Horner. So Horner gets the pin. Ron Wright is so shocked that that motherfucker literally falls out of his chair. And I don't mean that as a joke. Bruh, it was so funny. Ron Wright is doing his imitation of "I've fallen and can't get up" like the old lady from the commercial that aired during the late 90s. Harper, what were your thoughts?
Right. The best part was Ron Wright falling out the damn wheelchair.
That was great. Doc, what about you, man?
I actually thought this was a good match.
The match was good. I'm not complaining about the match. I just didn't like the non-title part of it.
Yeah, I don't like the non-title as well. We don't. We're consistent and we call it like it is. So I didn't like that. The match was good, I thought. And again, everything you said was right. I popped for Ron Wright falling out of the chair, but I didn't like it because why do it there? I mean, he's been in that chair for 34 episodes. Let's keep him in the chair and make it when he comes out of that chair the first time, it ought to be for not in a non-title match. That was kind of my thought there.
And I disagree. It wasn't like he stood up. I mean, he fell out of the chair in shock.
But did you catch the line that Dutch had in that one? If I tell you a chicken dips tobacco, look under his left wing and a can of Copenhagen will fall out.
I started to write down the timestamp for that so I could play it, and I forgot to. That was beautiful when he said that.
It's just little things. It's his left wing. You know, it's not just look under his wing. It's his left wing. It's the way that that positions that in your mind that it's like, damn, he's right.
And it was hilarious when he brought up Tim Horner was probably crying at the Democratic convention.
Yes.
Imagine saying that now.
Dutch is always throwing out little political jabs. He always does that because he brings up Clinton a few times in the past. And Dutch is always doing that. You know, Josh Matthews, if you want to learn how to be a heel announcer, turn Smoky Mountain Wrestling on. You'll learn real quick. His name is Dirty Dutch Mantel, and he was a freaking god when it comes to commentary, amongst other things. All right, let's go to the next segment. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch. It's with Jim Cornette and Killer Kyle. Let's cue it up and hear what Jim and Killer Kyle, well, let's hear what Jim has to say. Killer Kyle is not much of a talker.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. And Jimmy, my special guest today, ladies and gentlemen, a close, dear friend of mine and has been for a number of years. Let's give a big hand right now to Jimmy Cornette. Everybody stand up. They love you, Jimmy. They love you to death. Can't you hear? And I want to thank you for coming out on my show. You know, my ratings dropped last week with Bob Armstrong and Brian Lee. But I know you're talking about the wanted poster on $10,000 on Brian Lee's head. And I just got to ask you, do you know anything about this, Jimmy? I have to ask that question.
Yeah, I know a lot about it. I know that I'm going to make $10,000 because I know that my man Killer Kyle is going to collect the bounty here on this horse-headed goof. Now, let me tell you something. Bob Armstrong, you sticking your nose in my business again, it wasn't enough that you cost the Heavenly Bodies the tag team title once. We regained the belts. Now, in a rematch with the Fantastics, you're going to handcuff yourself to me at ringside. Well, let me just say this to you. You're going to find out, Bob Armstrong, why in the past, Dutch, as you know, they have called me Houdini Cornette. Now, my man Killer Kyle right here, Brian Lee, you think you're big, 6'8", 280 pounds, cover the ground you walk on. Well, brother, 303 pounds after dinner last night. He's 6'4", and he is B.A. Triple D bad. As a matter of fact, I took him to a restaurant. I ordered my steak. I said, hey, Killer, you want a steak? He said, I said, well, what do you want? Do you want it rare, medium, or well done? He said, just knock the horns off of it and bring it out on a leash, brother. That's how bad Killer Kyle is. And Brian Lee, that's in your future. And now, Rock and Roll Express, one thing. Today, on television, we're going to silence the critics.
Right.
We're going to defend the belts against you. And once that you have your one chance at the title and you emerge unsuccessful, then you're never going to see those belts again. You're never going to see my men again. You see the difference, Rock and Roll? Heavenly Bodies, they like the big girls. They're not like you and charter members of the Woody Allen Dating Club. So we're going to find out who the men and who the boys are here today on television.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Killer Kyle. Ladies and gentlemen, there you heard it. Jimmy Cornette sending Killer Kyle after $10,000. Fans, don't go away. Tag team title match coming up. The Heavenly Bodies against the Rock and Roll Express. Don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes. If you people don't shut up, I'm coming out there and slapping every one of you. Shut up.
All right, Doc Cornette doing his thing again. What you got?
Well, that was good.
Yeah, it was good.
You know, it's such an old, hokey term, and you would never, I don't think it would resonate in 2017, but I chuckled or kind of laughed to myself when he called Primetime Brian Lee a horse-headed goof. I thought that was good.
Dirty White Boy has been calling him Horsehead, too. Like, whenever they were in their feud, like, he would always call him Horsehead. Hey, who are you looking at, Horsehead? Yeah.
And then the other thing that I had on this is when he said that the Heavenly Bodies like the big girls, first thing I thought was, well, the Heavenly Bodies need to go hang out with Harper.
There you go.
And the Rock and Roll are members of the Woody Allen Dating Club. I think that line went over everybody in that arena's head.
Yeah, they didn't get that.
You think?
And if they would have said that now, they would have got a letter from Woody Allen's attorney.
Yeah. Yeah, because God forbid you say things now to get a real freaking pop out of people.
Just, so I'm not going to go. I'm not going to use my valuable airtime to go over the Woody Allen saga. But if you're it, don't you also don't know what that means? I would suggest that you Google it up, and you'll find that it actually is a really good line, but it was probably not understood by most of the in-house audience or the viewing audience.
There you go, insulting the good people to Smoky Mountains again, as usual. Harper, what did you think about the promo? You were good with everything there?
Yeah, it was fucking great. Yeah, like the fucking Woody Allen shit. I was like, oh my God. Yeah, that's right, when he was banging a fucking Asian girl. Like, fuck.
I believe the way to put that is he was banging his Asian stepdaughter.
Right.
You're not kidding, man. If you, you know, it's sitting there and I'm thinking about it now. You say that nowadays, boy, you'd have every attorney known to man on you.
Yeah.
They'd be demanding an apology. They'd be demanding retribution. I mean, it would go crazy. Look, I thought excellent promo. Cornette hits another home run with it. I like how, you know, hey, we still got this mystery man angle out there. And I'll say it like I've said it in previous weeks. Slow burn. We ain't going to find out who this is for a while. I mean, we're still a good ways away from figuring out who this person is. I mean,
almost a couple of months.
Yes, this ain't happening for a while. So just keep that in mind, everybody who's listening to this. We're a ways away at this point from it. So, all right, let's go to the next segment. It is a Bullet Bob Armstrong promo, and Bullet Bob is going to be addressing a few things here that's been going on in Smoky Mountain Wrestling related to the hit that's out on Primetime, Brian Lee.
Fans, here's Smoky Mountain Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, regardless of what you're doing, the wanted posters are still showing up with a $10,000 reward for the bounty on Brian Lee. The stalker is still stalking him, and I think you feel like you need even more security around.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why tonight, before Brian Lee's match, we have extra security guards at the front door, at the back door, and around the dressing room door. We're going to see that nobody gets in tonight without being seen. Now, a few weeks ago, he got arrested in Knoxville, this stalker, and was out within 3 hours. Nobody knows who went the bail. But we're going to cut out that problem tonight before it ever happens, Bob, and I'm going to the back door right now and guard that one myself.
All right, fans, and Brian Lee, he's going to be on action right here. So now, let's go to the ring.
Deputy Dog on the case, Doc. What you think?
Maybe he should just build a wall.
Oh, here we go. Here we go with the wall talk again. Can you stop with the wall talk? Jesus Christ, man.
Well, that'll keep over the bad guys out, right?
Oh, come on with the wall talk.
And you just got through saying that it's going to be a couple of more months, and already Bob Armstrong is just failing as the worst private investigator of all time. He's not protecting Primetime. If I'm Primetime Brian Lee, I'd be like, look, I'm starting to think it's you. You can't protect me. So just, you know, continues. He's Deputy Dog. It continues the intrigue. It's building the angle. I'm poking fun. It's good stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, I love Bullet Bob as a commissioner. I plan on asking Jim Cornette about that. Harper, you had anything from that before I go to the next match?
You can go on. Yeah, it's all right. It was. Who is it?
Right, who's the man? Who's the mystery man? I still got to get Harper a new headset. Jesus Christ.
What's wrong?
Bro, you sit there jerking that freaking microphone off every time we record.
Not moving.
It's like, okay.
I'm just. Whatever.
Just sitting there. What do you got? Your broads over there giving you a blowjob while you're cutting the program?
Wow, I'm a good Catholic white boy, man.
What's white guys? What does white have to do with it?
Exactly.
I always go back to what one of our listeners said. What's his name? The Bob. He always says, he's like, man, it's hilarious listening to you two, you three Southerners, you three deep Southerners try to talk mountain talk and covering a promotion that aired only in the Smoky Mountains.
Okay.
He's like, you
here's
sons
next,
of bitch.
Here's my next attempt.
They what? Took our jobs.
No. <It's> okay.
Can
why do you always?
Can we get the coal back?
Oh,
I want to get
come
my horse
on,
and buggy out. Come on,
oh, come
I want to take away women's rights to vote.
Hey, man, come
God
on now. Man, you stop treating the good people of the Smoky Mountains
uh-oh.
Like that, man. All right, let's go to the next match. We got Mike Sampson versus Primetime Brian Lee. This shit ends very quickly, less than a minute. Primetime Brian Lee gets the win. As soon as he gets the pin, the mystery man comes out and attacks Primetime Brian Lee, which then leads to Newton Steffi, Ben Jordan, Robbie Eagle, etc. They all try to come in and save Primetime Brian Lee, but the mystery man beats them all down and continues beating Primetime Brian Lee up. It finally takes Tim Horner, Nitro Danny Davis to hit the ring to chase the guy off. We go to commercial at that point. Doc, what you got from that very quick segment?
We haven't seen guys get laid out like that since Orndorff. Paul drove the entire roster that time, including Hector. We just said it. Maybe Bob Armstrong is behind this because they just put up all the security. Apparently, they didn't get the wall built in time, and the guy still slips in and gets to prime time. So this guy is not only a beast in the ring, but crafty as well.
If you say so. Harper, you got anything before we go to the next match?
Dude, he looked like a fucking crazy guy.
He does.
His eyes. Yeah, that's the first time you see like a real good close-up
of
his
face.
Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
This guy definitely scared the crap out of kids.
I agree. It wouldn't shock me if that was intentional, obviously, that
they get the
shot in of his face to finally show people, holy shit, this guy who's been jumping Primetime Brian Lee, now we get a really good look at him. Because other than that, before, if you think back to Fire on the Mountain, it was real quick. You really didn't see anything. I mean, he just came in, did his business, and ran off. And then you kind of saw him on a couple episodes ago. He came in, and he stuck around for a bit and dropped some elbows on Primetime Brian Lee. But now this time, you really see him, and then you see a close-up of his face.
Yeah.
And I got to agree. If I'm an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 7-year-old sitting in that crowd, I'm like, who is this fucking guy? He's scaring the crap out of me.
Reminiscent of how the three of us felt when Kamala would enter the scene.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to eat me. You couldn't convince me he wasn't going to eat me back then.
How could he come eat you if he was busy trying to track me down and come eat me?
I thought that, dude. Anytime I was like in a dark environment anywhere, or like, you know, it was getting dark outside, I was like, I got to get inside, man. Kamala might track me down. Jesus. All right,
You lived in the ghetto when you were a kid. It's dark 19 hours a day there.
That is true. That is true. if you heard my episode and the promo I cut on Triple H a few weeks ago, you'd know exactly what Doc's talking about here. So we go to the next match. It is the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll Express. I need to play a very quick snippet and soundbite at the very beginning of this match from Jim Cornette, and that's what I'm going to play right here.
Let me tell you something right now, brother. Eastern Kentucky, you are the welfare capital of the world. And I want you to feast your eyes on the richest collection of male manhood in professional wrestling. The Gangster of Love and the Doctor of Desire, Stan Lee, Tom Pritchard, the Heavenly Body.
You know what I loved about that? Not just the whole welfare of the world comment. Every time Cornette introduces him, as he's saying, the Heavenly Bodies, Dr. Tom is doing his thing with his head, which is awesome. It's just such a great heel move. Stan Lane still got his water polo helmet on with his beaver pelt. I am planning on asking Jim Cornette about that if he was having problems with his pelt staying in place. Other than that, Doc, you got anything before I get into the match?
Is it just me, or and I got no problem with seeing this on free TV because what we're about to see is awesome. But does it seem like they're kind of giving this away a little early?
Nope.
Okay.
Only reason I say that is because of the finish of it.
Okay.
I'm more than fine with it because of the finish. Harper, what did you have?
Right, yeah, because I thought the same thing, but the way they lost.
Right.
It wasn't a clean finish, so.
Yeah, they really didn't give anything away if you think about it. What they gave away was two marquee teams, but there was no clean finish, so it really wasn't a giveaway to me.
And the way that the little girls pop, bro, I swear to God, I don't know how many people that little building held, but as soon as that fucking music hits, it sounds like the fucking Beatles in a city. Yeah.
I can't even explain it. I mean, it's just like, you know, Doc always says it. Close your eyes and listen to the reaction that Ricky and Robert get. Just close your eyes and listen.
How many cards do you think those guys have been on where it gets that loud and the other guys on the card are like, listen to that crowd. There must be 5,000 people out there. And then they go to the promoter after and they get their envelope and they're like, wait a minute, there was 5,000 people. And they're like, nah, bro, there was 1,250.
Yeah.
Man.
Because they sounded that loud.
They did. Let me get into the notes in the match.
And wait, one more thing. And this is why reason number 341 why Smoky Mountain is better than the current product. See, they're mixing. We've been talking for a long time about the two hot ass top of the card tag team angles. Well, this is, you know, splitting them up and cross pollinating it. WWE would take it and make this an 8-man tag, and everybody would be in the ring, and nothing would happen worth watching. In
bunch
this case,
of hokey horse shit bullshit.
Right.
From them.
And instead, here what we get is a really good match.
Yes.
Yeah.
From two good teams. You know, I've already made mention about the look. You know, Stan Lane's got his polo headgear on still, and Cornette's still working the angle with Stanfield's ear being damaged. How you doing, at Fake Stan Lane? Thank you for all your support. I just wanted to say hello to you out there, and thank you at the Eye of Gibson. Plenty of people sent me congratulatory messages on Twitter about being on an upcoming, or in the past now, Jim Cornette experience, but I just wanted to say hello to them. But last week I made mention of when baby faces cheat the heels. I love seeing this in the match with Ricky and Robert. They were doing their false tags with the ref's back turned, and like seeing Jim Cornette sell it on the outside, going nuts on the ring apron, as he got a taste of his own medicine, I thought was a nice little touch during the match. You know, you don't see that anymore. I can't tell you the last time I saw that on current wrestling.
The only team that I think, and I haven't watched WWE in months, but the only team that I could see pulling that off well in the WWE landscape would be Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, I agree. Those would be the only two that could probably pull that off in a
mischievous kind of way.
Where it made sense, I guess, is what I'm thinking of. So I agree with that. That's a good statement, Doc. Dutch made an excellent point during the match that I kind of caught and was like, huh, he's got a point there. Dutch said that he would imagine that the Stud Stable is watching this match and praying for a Rock and Roll win, because if the Rock and Roll wins, then the Stud Stable will get a shot at the Smoky Mountain Wrestling titles. Did you catch that, Doc, and what'd you think about it?
I did not catch that line, but Jesus Christ, what a great line, what a great thought, way to build layer on layer on top of stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah. Did you catch that one, Harper?
No.
Okay. Yeah, he said that, and it caught my attention. I mean, it didn't detract from it, but I don't know. It was a good point that he made as he was talking about the match. So I don't know. I don't know. Just something very interesting.
That's why there's three of us. That's why there's three of us, so that we all miss stuff. But with the three of us, man, everybody catches everything.
The match continues, and Ricky Morton starts playing the old Morton, you know, role of taking the heat before Ricky finally makes the hot tag to Robert Gibson. The Rock and Roll chants are loud throughout. Killer Kyle gets thrown out from ringside. He's out there. I don't know if I had mentioned that earlier, because he interfered in the match. That's why they threw him out. He heads to the back. The Rock and Roll, they soon after that get the upper hand and hit Dr. Tom with a double drop kick, but Cornette distracts the ref. Ricky Morton comes over and blasts Cornette. You know, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Jim Cornette is an underrated in the ring bumper. Cornette sells like some of the greater sellers in the history of wrestling. My opinion. I mean, I don't know. Take it for what it's worth, but I just really feel that way. Just really good. Probably the only other manager who maybe sold better than him when he got hit was Bobby Heenan.
Yeah.
Heenan was a hell of a worker in the ring. Heenan was a hell of a worker. The stud stable also is at ringside. They interfere with the ref's back turn. They fuck Gibson. Gibson goes over the top rope. When that happens, what they do is Gibson gets shot into the ropes, and then the stud stable pulls the top rope down. Gibson flips over, goes to the outside. They then throw Gibson back in, and I think it was Dr. Tom that then got a quick pinfall on Gibson. So, clean, I guess you can call it a finish and a pinfall, but it definitely wasn't clean. Harper, what thoughts did you have on the match?
Yeah, it's it definitely pissed off the crowd.
Oh, they were hot.
Yeah, they were fucking hot, man.
The crowd was pissed off.
Yeah, they wanted to see their fucking beloved Rock and Roll Express get the victory, and they said nope.
Yeah, the crowd was hot. We had a hot crowd for this one. They were pretty damn mad for it. I agree there. Doc, what'd you have from the match?
Man, I noticed that about 3 minutes into the match, Dr. Tom came in and was selling his ass off. Just
Dr. Tom
around
is great. He is great.
Just that point knocked out at me. We got Karate Stan Lane at the beginning of the match doing some around. Which is just, you know, I love Stan Lane. I really do. He cuts a really good promo. He's awesome in the ring. He looks good, except from the neck down. It's just he's out there in that pelt and swimmer's cap, and it just he's one of the only guys that could pull that off, because anybody else, I would just like, what a buffoon. And it is kind of buffoonish, but he's just got enough other skills to compensate. So he still thinks he's ladies' man, posing and dancing, and then he's got that head situation.
It's so fucking ridiculous that it's awesome.
Yes. Right.
Because I, for the life of me, as long as I've been watching wrestling, again, never had access to Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the 90s, I've seen headgear, but it was always in the as a boxing helmet, you know, an amateur boxing helmet headgear. You know, Buddy Jack would have that on. But to see Stan Lane with a fucking water polo helmet, a water polo helmet, and then to, I guess it plays in our minds that he had this beaver pelt, and us, like, I think right now, because as of today, we don't know the answer as to was it holding his hair in place. I can't even say it with a straight face. it's like even if it did serve a purpose, the other benefits of it was he's selling it that he's got this eardrum damage.
Yeah,
and we're gonna
it's
know
just
this.
Great,
we're gonna know this by the time it comes around. But and I realize you're going on the Jim Cornette show, so you can't just go in there and barge in and do what you want. But I just want to know the backstage reaction when he showed up that day, or did that, showed up at the hotel room or whatever, and was like, hey, guys. Because
Tom talked about it on a 605.
It's almost as crazy as if, like, you just showed up at work. Menace just showed up at work one day with a full wig on, because Menace it's got a shaved head. And if you just tried to walk into my office and be like, hey, Bet, hey, dude, hey, what's up? And I'm like, what do you mean, what's up? Let's just call time out. We got to talk about that fucking shit on your head.
That would be the reaction, too. Like, I can imagine everybody in that office would stop me, like, what the fuck is that? Like,
there are some yeah, ridiculous sap ass, just sappy marks in our office that would look at you kind of funny and go, is there something? Did you do something different?
Yeah, funny. Okay. Enough of Stanfield's beaver pelt and water polo helmet. Hopefully, by the time you're hearing this, you would have heard the answer on the Jim Cornette Experience. We go to a local promo. It's Tim Horner on the Rock and Roll. Again, I'll play it at the end. Nothing here, but I will mention it at the end. And then we got Bullet Bob Armstrong. Promo from him about what just took place. So I'm going to cue that up and play that puppy right now.
Fans with me right now, Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, I tell you, you're having a full house, it looks like. Everything's happening. Any doubt about that? That match that we just saw up there, there was no reason for the stud stable to come out and interfere in that match.
Bodies were flying everywhere, but I saw what Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden did.
Yeah.
So they're going to be fined $500 apiece for that, no doubt about it. And I want to tell them that they, Rock and Roll Express, will get another shot at the championships. I'm ordering the Heavenly Bodies to do that.
Jim Cornette said he was only going to give them one chance and one opportunity, and that was it. That they were only going to get one chance. That's what Cornette said.
Talk about one. I want to file an official protest for the Rock and Roll Express. That no good stinking bleached blonde punk Ricky Martin hit me in my face and could have severely injured me. I want to file a protest. I want to see him suspended. Shut up, you welfare cases. I want to see him suspended from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And they ain't getting another title match. I said one chance. I asked for the match to begin with. One chance, that's what they got. They didn't win. They fell all over themselves. And we ain't giving them another chance at those belts.
Well, I got news for you, brother. By you jumping up there and him hitting a face that a mother couldn't love, you gave them another chance. They're going to get another chance for the titles. Rock and Roll will get their shot. And remember this, the Fantastics have already signed two more matches with you guys, and I'm going to be at ringside. Only the difference this time, I'm going to be handcuffed to you, big boy, and we're going down to the wire.
You see that? You see what he's trying to do to us? He's trying to cheat us out of the belts every chance he gets because he can't stand it, just like these people can't stand it. You're all jealous of greatness. Well, let me tell you something. I am not, I repeat, not going to give the Rock and Roll Express another title match. This thing will be tied up in court till we got beards down to our crotch.
All right, fans, we'll see just what plays out in this in the weeks to come here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Next week, a bounty match for $10,000. Primetime, Brian Lee against Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Next week in the $10,000 banner match, and we'll see you then.
Doc, go ahead.
Well, you know, things are at progressing. That's what happens in episodic TV. We're advancing the angle. The decks are getting stacked against the heels. We're going to give the baby faces some hope, whether it's the Fantastics or the Rock and Roll Express. Everybody's going to get shots at these belts. The people are going to feel like they're one of their sets of heroes is finally going to get at that stinky Cornette, that jackass. And Cornette is just fucking solid here all the way through. But I mean, we all just popped listening to it, but the beard, we'll be tied this up until we have beards to our crotches, was a funny line, and I thought it was great.
That was good, yeah. Harper, what'd you think, man?
Yeah, he's just that perfect heel that he's not going to give him another title shot.
Nope.
And it's like, and it's, you believe it.
Yeah. there's a couple things there. When Cornette first starts to rant at the very beginning of the promo, Bullet Bob, if you watch his mannerisms, he's looking at him like, God, I just want to slap the fuck out of you. Like if you go back and watch it, he's just looking at him like, you're one aggravating son of a bitch, and I just want to pop the piss out of you. And I got to say something. Go ahead, Doc.
Well, and at the beginning, Cotto was out there snitching, and Bob Bullet, Mr. Armstrong, did you see what was going on? That wasn't right. I mean, it's just, we are, as we get deeper into this thing, the sides are getting drawn even more. If the heels are doing dastardly shit, the baby faces are getting wronged, and the people are getting hot. Huh.
Did you see that he's levying out a fine?
Oh, yeah, $500. I was
$500, man.
That's the first fine in a while.
Yeah, it is. I was wondering if the stud stable was going to go rob the Keebler factory for some money to pay it.
Jesus Christ. No. Fuller will get some money from Barbara and Brenda at the Holiday Inn, and he'll work. What did Primetime Brian Lee say that time? He worked the rats out of their money. The rats bought him all his ring gear. I'm just repeating what I've heard. I'm not stating that it's a fact. I'm just repeating
Yes. Allegedly.
Allegedly. I love this. Let me tell you something. I cut a vicious promo on Triple H a couple weeks ago on our show, talking about I'd fight him, and I stand by that. I ain't scared of that motherfucker. I wouldn't fuck with Bully Bob Armstrong even in 2017. He's the law, brother. I would not mess with him, dude. I ain't messing with Bully Bob. Bully Bob's the man, dude. He means business, and I'll probably repeat that a few times over the course of us going through this journey. All right, it is time. Anything else before we hand out our disability checks?
Well, maybe I'm good with moving on, but maybe, you know, as again we're kind of resetting for to accommodate the thousands of people that have come along for the ride, maybe you should reset what exactly we mean when we hand out disability checks and government cheese.
The disability checks is like a little bit of us poking fun at, you know, poor people.
It's you playing heel, I get it.
Which I mean, I'm making fun of myself more than anything when I bring out disability checks. So the disability checks is how many checks you'd be willing to spend on going to the wrestling. So that's a disability check. So the more disability checks an episode gets, the more willing we'd be to part with our disability checks to go see the wrestling live. I mean, okay. It is what it is.
Okay,
good explanation for you?
That's fair enough. Now, what about this government cheese? I think, you know, I've never been on government cheese, so maybe you could explain that.
Well, government cheese is actually very good.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's excellent. It's some really good shit. Sometimes it'll clog you up a little bit if you eat too much of it, but that's a good thing. So, government cheese, longtime listener of the show, Shar Johnson, recommended that we give out a government cheese award a while back. And the government cheese can either go to a good or bad segment of the show. So Doc generally gives it to the good segment of the show. I tend to give it to I generally give it to a good and bad, but Doc always gives it to a good segment. So it just depends. Harper is kind of in between. But anyway, government cheese can go to a good or bad segment of the show, and that's how that works. So, Doc, let's do the disability checks. You go first.
I thought this was a really solid episode, and because nothing really jumped off the page, but everything throughout was good, really good. So it's rare that without something crazy happening, I go this high on an episode, but really top notch across the board. Let me throw out 7.4 disability checks.
All right. Harper, what would you give it?
I'll give it an 8. It kept me watching. This was one of those episodes where I didn't kind of hit the screen to see how much time is left. I just fucking let it fucking roll.
Because
it just kept me watching. So I'll give it an 8.
I'm right there with you, Harper. Actually, I gave it an 8 as well. Same thing. I felt like, you know, at the very beginning, we had the stud stable. You know, they cut a nice little promo. I felt like, you know, we had a little bit of Ron Wright. Not too much, but we had a little bit of Ron Wright at the beginning of it. So that was all. You know, I got to say, anytime we get some Ron Wright and some Dirty White Boy in a show, it becomes a great episode. Yeah, and speaking of Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy, just wait till next week. Just wait till next week. But anytime we get some Ron Wright, I'm always excited. So I went with an 8 as well, and I thought it finished off good. I mean, we had a good Down and Dirty with Dutch with Jim Cornette. We had a good close with Bullet Bob Armstrong and Jim Cornette. So just some solid stuff there. So I went with 8 as well. So overall, we're basically at like a 7.75 on our rating, 7.8 on our rating. I can't do the math that quick in my head, Mr. Mathematician, Mr. PhD, just so you know, in case you want to correct me, because I know you like to do that because you're an asshole. All right, Doc, wanted to throw that out there.
Don't know what I did to deserve any of that.
Okay, I'm just making sure. So, all right, we go to I just want to say before we go to our government cheese, I want to mention Joe Stassi from the Old School Pro Wrestling Lives page on Facebook. If you like old school pro wrestling and tons of old pictures, news articles, all that good stuff, check out Joe's page. He also runs the ICW Outlaws of Wrestling page on Facebook. Please check those pages out. Some really, really good stuff there. If you are a first-time listener, subscribe to the show however you get this, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. And on iTunes, we could use some 5-star reviews. Help us move up in the pro wrestling or professional wrestling ratings on iTunes. 5-star reviews do help that out, so please do so. Support us, and that would help us tremendously. We are on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504 Saints. Hardbody Harper is at CJH Hoodat. patrons. We could use some more patron members. If you are a first-time listener, we have a patron page where you can sign up for as little as $2 a month. It gives you the opportunity to potentially join a show of ours or two at the $2 membership level. And you get exclusive benefits such as the patron-only episodes, which tend to mix in wrestling with real-life circumstances. So check out our patron page. If you just go to mikemills.podbean.com, at the very top of the page, there's a link that says Become a Patron. We'd appreciate if you would check out the patron page and maybe sign up. I'm telling you, there's some benefits there. And then lastly, while I'm giving these plugs out, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. That is our Amazon referral link. If you love this show and you want to support the show without spending any extra money, but you're already purchasing something from Amazon, use our Amazon referral link. It really helps us out. Get a little small kickback in return. It helps me when I'm purchasing software or just all the time that we spend on the show, because I will tell you this, we spend a lot of time taking this seriously, taking notes, covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling and the NWA on our other flagship show on Thursday. So please check it out. Again, that's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. All right, Doc. Well, Harper, I'll throw it at you first. Who are you giving your government cheese to this week?
My government cheese goes to Ron Wright falling out that damn chair for the first time. That shit, it made me pop for real.
I did too. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. He's fucking gold, man.
He is great. He is fantastic is what he is. 100% great. Doc, where are you at with your government cheese this week?
Well, he fell out of the chair and he was sporting a tank top at one time. So really hard to go away from Ron Wright, but I'm going to. They started the show. They kind of ended the show. Give me the Stud Stable. They came out with the stretcher. They poured the guy off the stretcher. They beat ass. They talked a big game. And then they came out and screwed the rock and roll out of their match. So, man, we gave them a lot of love at the beginning. The Stud Stable gets my government cheese because they are really knocking it out of the park right now.
I 100% agree with you there. I am with the Stud Stable, too. I almost gave it to Ron Wright falling out the chair because Ron Wright falling out the chair was just gold. It's hard to explain how great that segment was. Also, I mean, look, we had not only Ron Wright falling out of the chair, but we had the Dirty White Boy, I should say, with the Zubaz on, polishing his belt with Ron Wright's blankie that Ron Wright throws over his legs. I thought that was funny. But I definitely, too, I had to give it to the Stud Stable. They came out firing. There's also going to be a promo at the end of the show here coming up in a second with the Stud Stable that I thought was just excellent. It was a house show promo, but, you know, it's just Fuller turning it up a notch, cutting an excellent promo. So I had to go with that there. And that is our government cheese of the week. So disability checks, I gave out 8. Hardbody Harper gave out 8. Doc gave out 7.4. And our government cheese, I went with the Stud Stable. Doc went with the Stud Stable. Hardbody Harper goes with Ron Wright falling out the chair. Just be glad we didn't give it to Tim Horner in a bad Horner segment, because we've done that in the past with Horner. So no disrespect, Tim. Just is what it is, bro. You couldn't cut a promo. And this week, we didn't have a long Horner promo. But let me give a teaser for next week. Doc, we're about to record next week's show. I think we've all watched it here.
I believe the term "come unglued" will be used.
Yeah. Okay. Harper, you got any parting words as we send it off and give a little teaser for next week on a certain incident with Tim Horner and the Dirty White Boy?
Let's go, man.
He's ready to do it. I'm ready too. So with that said, again, follow us on Twitter at BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJH. Who dat? Hey, check out our Facebook page. I have been working to get the Facebook page a little bit more interactive. I look at what the great Brian Last does with the 605 Super Podcast page. Man, his listeners, they post, they provide feedback. Here's the thing about Smoky Mountain. Doc has said it. He's from Texas. Me and Harper are from South Louisiana, and we're from New Orleans. We didn't get Smoky Mountain. We don't know much about the Smoky Mountain culture in general. So when I post these Smoky Mountain wrestling episodes on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, I would love to hear feedback from you all. I get a lot of feedback on Twitter, but I'd love to see some feedback on the Facebook page about the episodes and when they aired. And now that we have a larger audience of Smoky Mountain listeners, please feel free to chime in. Whether you agree, disagree, I really don't give two shits. I just want to know, you know, what your thoughts were each and every episode as you watched it during the 90s, if you watched it during the 90s, or even if you're just watching along with us now and we're kind of off base on what our thoughts are. Still would love to hear. So, with that said, again, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, and comment on the episodes. We'd appreciate it. Other than that, we're going to throw it over to the promos of the week in a second that we missed. Maybe some commentary, because I've been trying to throw in a little commentary, too, as well, from the episode that we didn't play while we were covering it. But from Mike and Doc and Hardbody Harper, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here on this week's episode.
Book it, bitch.
We've got a super spectacular wrestling card coming your way in Sneedville, Tennessee at the Hancock County High School on Monday, September 21st, bell time 7 o'clock. 10 matches on this big super spectacular card. The Rock and Roll Express will be there, the Stud Stable, Paul Orndorff, Ronnie Garvin, and many, many more. Then at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum on Friday, October 2nd, bell time 8 o'clock, we must have a winner in this match as Paul Orndorff takes on Ronnie Garvin. Tim Horner meets the Dirty White Boy, a Smoky Mountain Tag title. Handcuffed to Bob Armstrong will be Jim Cornette. His Heavenly Bodies will take on the Fantastics. In a super stretcher match, we have one man must be carried out in this match. The Rock and Roll Express will meet Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden.
You know, the people at Knoxville, they've come up with a lot of things to try to humiliate Jim Cornette, and Bob Armstrong's come up with a lot of things to try to take the tag team titles off my Heavenly Bodies. But I tell you something, this is the lowest he's ever stooped. Gonna handcuff me to that stinking old fossil Bob Armstrong. Well, let me tell you something. Right there in the Knoxville Coliseum, brother, the Heavenly Bodies are gonna take the Fantastics all the way out this time. And Bob Armstrong, I'm gonna show you why they call me Houdini Cornette.
The Stud Stable involved in a stretcher match.
I want to tell you something, Phil Rainey. The Rock and Roll is dead. The Stud Stable is alive, and you boys in Knoxville, Tennessee, is glutton for punishment. I've had it up to here with you. We're going to take care of business in Knoxville. We're going to beat you down till you can't get up no more. Then they're going to haul you out. Jimmy, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to tell me for sure you're going to make them squeal for me.
Yeah,
because it's one thing to get beat and to get hurt and to lay down on a stretcher and it's all over and hauled out of there. But it ain't going to be no night of picnics. Because before the night's over, boys, you are going to squeal for the Stud Stable. And I mean loud. Put that hoot on them, and we're working and working and working. You're squealing, boys.
All right, fans, before we go to the ring for our non-title bout between the Dirty White Boy and Tim Horner, let's hear their comments that were taped earlier today about this upcoming match.
You know, I don't have a thing to prove to you, Dirty White Boy. That's why you, and you know that, that's why you're ducking and dodging. But I am going to prove to the people that I can beat you, and I'm going to get me a title shot.
Let me tell you something, Tim Horner. You done been out here crying to the promoters around here and forced me and the Dirty White Boy to get in there and give you a match. Well, let me tell you something. You're not good enough. You never was good enough, and there ain't no way in the world you can beat my man. You got it?
Wrestling fans, we've got a super spectacular card coming to Sneedville, Tennessee on September the 21st, bell time, 7 o'clock at the Hancock County High School. 10 matches signed on this big card. The Rock and Roll Express will be there, the Stud Stable, Paul Orndorff, Ronnie Garvin, and more. At the Knoxville Coliseum on Friday, October the 2nd, bell time, 8 o'clock, there must be a winner in this match. Paul Orndorff takes on Ronnie Garvin. Also, Tim Horner meets the Dirty White Boy. In a Smoky Mountain Tag title match, Jim Cornette will be handcuffed to Commissioner Bob Armstrong. The Heavenly Bodies meet the Fantastics. And in our main event, a super stretcher match, one man must be carried out. It'll be the Rock and Roll Express taking on Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. But first, let's hear from White Lightning, Tim Horner.
You know, Phil, I've made it just as plain as I know how to make it, that I'd like a shot with that Dirty White Boy for that Smoky Mountain heavyweight title. Now, he's dodging me. He's ducking me. His manager, Ron Ryder, he won't return my calls. He won't talk to me. But I finally got a match. It's not a title match in Knoxville, but it is a match. And one way or the other, Dirty White Boy, you're going to give me a title match.
Now, let's hear from Robert Gibson.
You know, the last time we wrestled the Stud Stable, Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, they couldn't understand how come we beat them. We beat them so bad. Let me tell you something, boys. Last time you jumped us after the bell rung, this time it's a stretcher match, and one of us is going to be carried out.
You know, you got that right. I'm sick and tired after every match we had with Jimmy Golden.
Golden and Robert Fuller. When the match is over, they jump us from behind. And, brother, you leave us laying in the ring. Because, like Robert said, one thing that you can't face is the fact that we beat you right in the middle of the ring. Well, this time, everything's got to come to an end. And this time in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's going to be a stretcher match. That means somebody off each team has to be carried back in the back on a stretcher. But let me tell you one thing, Stud Stable. It's not going to be the Rock and Roll Express. Because all those nice fans out there have stood behind us through thick and thin. And baby, this time, we are fighting for you. And we are going to the top. So Stud Stable, be ready. You're going back on a stretcher.
Fans with me right now, Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Commissioner, I tell you, you're having a full house, it looks like. Everything's happening, any doubt about that. That match that we just saw up there, there was no reason for the Stud Stable to come out and interfere in that match.
Bodies were flying everywhere, but I saw what Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden did. Yeah. So they're going to be fined $500 apiece for that, no doubt about it. And I want to tell them that they, Rock and Roll Express, will get another shot at the championships. I'm ordering the Heavenly Bodies to do that.
Jim Cornette said he was only going to give them one chance and one opportunity, and that was it. That they were only going to get one chance. That's what Cornette said.
Talk about one. I want to file an official protest for the Rock and Roll Express. That no good stinking bleach blonde punk Ricky Martin hit me in my face and could have severely injured me. I want to file a protest. I want to see him suspended. Shut up, you welfare cases. I want to see him suspended from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And they ain't getting another title match. I said one chance. I asked for the match to begin with. One chance, that's what they got. They didn't win. They fell all over themselves. And we ain't giving them another chance at those belts.
Well, I got news for you, brother. By you jumping up there and him hitting a face that a mother couldn't love, you gave them another chance. They're going to get another chance for the titles. Rock and Roll will get their shot. And remember this. The Fantastics have already signed two more matches with you guys, and I'm going to be at ringside. Only the difference this time, I'm going to be handcuffed to you, big boy, and we're going down to the wire.
You see that? You see what he's trying to do to us? He's trying to cheat us out of the belts every chance he gets because he can't stand it, just like these people can't stand it. You're all jealous of greatness. Well, let me tell you something. I am not, I repeat, not going to give the Rock and Roll Express another title match. This thing will be tied up in court till we got beards down to our crotch.
All right, fans, we'll see just what plays out in this in the weeks to come here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Next week, a bounty match for $10,000. Primetime, Brian Lee against Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. Next week in the $10,000 banner match, and we'll see you then.